on this edition of the Iowa Business Report.
Feel very positive about not only sales, but revenue. They're all hiring.
A reminder that manufacturing is not what it used to be and is a strong force in the Iowa economy. A surprisingly high number of us have not saved for retirement. And in our business profile segment, you'll hear about a century-old Quad Cities business entering its fourth generation of family ownership. This is the Iowa Business Report for the first weekend of May 2021.
The Iowa Business Report is a copyrighted production of Totally Iowa Media, which is solely responsible for its content. For more, click on the radio programs button at totallyiowa.com. Here is Jeff Stein.
Not long ago, I came across a survey of jobs, and the claim was that a welder one position was one of the very worst jobs you could have. That flies in the face of everything I've learned about manufacturing here in Iowa. So I thought instead of a survey of uninformed people, I'd get accurate information from a knowledgeable source, the Iowa Association of Business and Industry, and its president, Mike Ralston.
The ABI member manufacturers that I talk to are very optimistic about the coming year. Feel very positive about not only sales, but revenue. They're all hiring, and they're certainly hiring anybody who wants to weld, and those people will do very, very well in Iowa.
Now, manufacturing is a very broad phrase. Welding, some of us think we know what that is, but both, manufacturing broadly, welding in particular, that's not the career or the job that it was when you or I were looking for our first work.
Well, that's for sure. Jeff, when you and I were thinking about our first jobs, welding was still very much a dirty profession, not perhaps valued as it should have been even then. That has all changed. It's part of a very high-tech environment, very well compensated. I don't know too many plants that aren't paying top dollar for welders. A beginning welder in Iowa can make north of $55,000 to $60,000. An experienced welder with great skill can easily approach six figures and have all the work they want. So it's a great career.
And that's on top of the fact that the training you need to learn that skill is not nearly what you need for a four-year degree, an advanced degree at a college, and nothing against higher education in that respect, but those folks start out their careers with a lot of debt these days. You can be trained to be a welder, start at a really nice wage, and not have that other baggage.
Boy, that's so true. Not only do you not have that debt, you can be paid while you train. Most, I don't know of a manufacturer that won't train you and pay you for that training. I'm mindful of a company in North Iowa in Garner called Stellar Industries. They have the Stellar Welding Academy, and they will hire anybody who wants to learn to weld. They'll start them. They'll pay them from day one. And when they start, they'll spend 4 to 6 weeks training them in welding. So not only can you avoid debt, you can also get paid to train, and that's a pretty good deal. Plus, as you know so well, Iowa's community colleges, certainly Hawkeye Community College, all of them in Iowa, have great programs for welders and for so many other fields too.
And I'm focused on welding because that was the one job that was spotlighted in this survey. But for some of us, again, of a certain age, we know of people who started to work in manufacturing plants, in factories in towns where we grew up. In my case, it was near Marshalltown, and you had a variety of good manufacturers, but the jobs were very different. And so help me understand, if I go into one of Iowa's quote-unquote manufacturers today, what do you think I'm going to be surprised about, knowing what I just told you was my preconceived notion from generations ago?
I know you won't be surprised because you're Iowa's best business broadcaster. You know how this all works now, but some of us would go into these plants and we remember the old production lines where somebody's sitting or standing in a production station and there's some parts coming by and they've got to assemble something and then send it down the road, and they're probably sitting or standing amongst a pile of rejected parts, that sort of thing. Probably not a very clean situation. Boy, that is like 40 years ago. Now, if you go in, there are still production lines, but it's probably somebody either sitting, again, or standing at a screen of some kind, a computer screen or some other data-producing screen that says, These are the parts going through. There's very little waste anymore as far as quality. I don't know. You don't find the rejects that you used to because quality is so much better these days. And so they're in a very clean and high-tech environment. Yes, they're on a production line, but it's nothing like the production line of 40 years ago.
And that is fascinating to me because the workforce level is still where it was at that 30 and 40 years ago level. It's just different jobs, and you still can't find enough appropriately trained people to fill the need.
That's true. Also, people of a certain age like you and me, we remember all the talk about robotics will really cut down on jobs, cut down on employment, or new technologies will mean that we won't need as many people. Boy, that just hasn't turned out to be the case. What it's meant is that the job has changed, as you just alluded to, and the jobs then are better. They're also value-added jobs. You can't just do mindless work anymore. You have to be thoughtful. That's a pretty good thing. It leads to better pay and benefits, and certainly that's good for all.
As we're talking on Wednesday, the governor just signed a bill that, again, you really have to look to find bills that pass the legislature unanimously in both chambers. It may happen once a year. This had to do with broadband infrastructure, and one of the things the governor said was that this would provide better jobs across the state. All right, as the president of Iowa's largest organization focused on business and industry, tell me how enhanced broadband infrastructure is going to lead to better jobs across the state.
A couple ways. But first, let me say that a lot of people, when they think about broadband deployment, they think, well, what is its impact on manufacturing? And it will have an impact. But Iowa manufacturers have tended to be pretty innovative. They've done what they needed to do. By that, I mean spend the money they needed to spend to make sure they had broadband in their facilities. What this really allows is businesses of other kinds. One thing that Iowans seem to value is a work situation that allows them to sort of set their own hours or do something non-traditional. Certainly greater broadband will help with customer service centers. It will help with the kinds of things, telemedicine and those sorts of things, that also can lead to other jobs that somebody might not have been able to have in a community, but they can now because of the broadband.
How well positioned are we at this point for Iowa to make the kind of move economically, expansion of business, attraction of people, et cetera? We have talked for years about how we have to create the right climate. So while there's always work that can be done, and the legislature is still meeting, so I know a number of your priorities are still in the hopper, but how are we positioned? Is the time right? Is the climate right? Is the atmosphere right so that we can not just grow at whatever it was 4% in the past decade, but potentially our population can grow more purposefully and even more in the next decade?
So one of those issues that we've talked about often is growing the population and growing the economy. One thing that's starting to happen, and people don't have to take my word for it, there's objective data out there that can document this. Wages in Iowa are starting to rise. I would be the first to say that there was pretty much a stagnant situation when it came to wages in Iowa. And that's, of course, both good and bad. If I was receiving those wages, I would want them to climb. And I have always said the market will set that. And there's data out there now to say that the market has said, you know what, we need to increase wages. There's also data related to that that shows people are migrating into Iowa at a greater rate than they were. Is it enough? Probably not, but it's a start. I'd say the answer to your question is we are well positioned. We've done a number of things related to broadband, as we just talked about. We've done a number of things related to taxation. We've done some other things in this state. And again, these are Republicans and Democrats working together in the legislature to get some things done. And hopefully it will pay off. Certainly there seems to be a start, and that's good.
Mike Ralston is president of the Iowa Association of Business and Industry, online at iowaabi.org. We connected via Zoom on Wednesday, April 28th. Still to come, skimpy retirement savings, and we'll hear about a sweet Quad Cities business. You're listening to the Iowa Business Report. The Iowa Business Report is presented by Advance Iowa and its Family Business Forum, presenting another event in the Breakfast Series on Friday, May 21st, focusing on the essentials of family governance. To learn more or to register, go to advanceiowa.com and click on Family Business Forum. A new study shows that Americans are under-saving for their retirement. Business and marketing analyst Craig Huey shares the survey numbers and their impact.
1 in 4 had no retirement savings. I mean, that's a financial nightmare ahead. And for those who do, they just don't have enough money. 55 to 64, they have $120,000. That's about $1,000 a month, $12,000 a year. And those who are millennials, they're the ones who really cashed out their 401ks, cashed out their retirement funds during the pandemic scare. And it's a real crisis ahead. When you think about it, Jeff, if you're living on Social Security, that's about $18,000 a year, $1,500 a month. If you add that $120,000, that's the average retirement fund, you know, you're getting about $30,000 a year or $2,500 a month. That's not enough to live in a time when prices are rising because of inflation, when taxes are rising on a state and local level, you have a home and property taxes are rising. How are you going to keep your home? You go to the store and you're seeing an inflation rate that's growing. How are you going to be able to buy your food? To have a great retirement, you need to have some personal solutions to being able to survive, not just survive, in fact, to be able to prosper. And it can be done. You know, the market's doing great. It has an average return of about 8-9%. Just as an average, and of course this last year it's been going crazy. And so being in the market is a way to be able to prepare for the future. Compounding, the magic of compounding happens. You know, people need to be able to take that responsibility. And when you do, you can make it actually fun. You can actually invest as a fun activity. And the good thing I'm seeing is younger people are starting to get that. It's those who are around 40 and above who absolutely need to be investing. They're not getting it quite yet.
And the study shows that 13% of those age 60 or older have no private retirement savings. Coming up, a landmark business is about to engage in a transition. You're listening to the Iowa Business Report. The Iowa Business Report is presented by the Iowa Waste Reduction Center online at iwrc.uni.edu. Get monthly updates from the IWRC on regulatory matters, industry news, upcoming events, and more straight to your email inbox. Sign up at iwrc.uni.edu. It's been a landmark in the Quad Cities for more than a century. Lago Marcino's in operation since 1908, now poised for some change. Tom Lago Marcino is part of the third generation of family to operate the business.
Well, it's quite a history. Grandfather grew up in a little village by the name of Lago Marcino in northern Italy. And he came over in the late 1800s and was a common laborer in New York City, earned enough money so that he could go over and marry his sweetheart and bring her back to the United States. And they settled in, first of all, Burlington, Iowa. He had an older brother that had a little confectionery across from the railroad station. But he also had cousins by the name Lago Marcino that had a large wholesale produce business, very big wholesalers. So he worked for them. First, he had a wagon and a horse, and he would go around neighborhoods selling fruits and vegetables. He did that for a while and then went to work more specifically with his cousins as the head banana man. And he would have to make sure that the bananas got off the rail and got to their appropriate destination. Now, the only problem with bananas back then is you also had tarantulas. So he wasn't too crazy about that. So he decided to forget about the bananas and go into his own business. He didn't want to compete with his brother, so he settled in downtown Moline in 1908. That's when he opened up the first store. in the early days, they sold a lot of produce, cigars, and tobacco. And they were open from 7 o'clock in the morning to 1 o'clock the next morning. So very, very long hours. They lived above the store. Now, downtown Moline was quite a hot spot. And during Prohibition, if you didn't take your date to the speakeasy, you took them to the soda fountain. So there were 5 soda fountains, 7 movie theaters, and 3 dance halls just in downtown Moline. So it was really hopping at night. And people were known to bring in their homemade hooch and spike their Green Rivers or their Cherry Cokes. And it got so bad that at one point they finally had to put on the menu, please refrain from adding liquor to your drinks.
You are, as I understand, the third generation. So you told me how your grandfather got involved, but I have a feeling like most family-owned small businesses from a young age, your father's generation heavily involved in the store.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, my dad grew up in the business. He was the youngest of 3 children. My grandfather passed away when my dad was 7. My grandfather went over by boat to court and marry my grandmother's sister so she could help raise the family, which is very common back then. So he grew up in the business and absolutely loved the business. There were 6 kids in our family. And dad said, you know, it's just like a family farm. He grew his own help. And people would come in the store at Christmas and all 6 kids would be working at the store. And they'd look at dad and he'd say, well, you know, boy, you got the whole family working down here. My dad would say, oh, yeah, we bring the dog down at night to lick labels. And it wasn't far from that. So, I mean, I was making ice cream when I was in 7th grade. And now it's... Well, right now it's my turn to pass the baton, the one that I'm holding. So those are the steps we're taking right now.
So that becomes somewhat complicated from a structure standpoint, from a legal standpoint. What resources have you relied upon to help navigate? Because you know how to make candy. You know how to run 2 very successful different stores in the same market. But I'm guessing the legal niceties of transfer to a new generation, that's not exactly what you went to school for. And so you needed to have some assistance.
Yeah, and that's a good point. You know, my sister Beth and myself, when we came back into the business, we inherited that part of the business. Before it was just my dad. So now you've got 2 owners and one is deciding to leave. And I knew that I would probably leave before Beth. And we talked about it, but it was always the elephant in the room. You know, yes, we will, yes, we will, yes, we will kind of thing. But the discussions were not many ones that you would put off, probably because a little bit of discomfort and not to know how to do it. And that's where Advance Iowa came in. And it was just a stroke of luck, it seems to us, because a gentleman who lives here locally came into the store and said, oh, yeah, we've got this program through Northern Iowa where we kind of help with the transition of businesses. And we go, oh, you know, it's like the guardian angel showed up kind of thing. Boy, it has just been wonderful because Dan has just been wonderful. Daniel Beacon has just been wonderful to work with. He's direct. He asks the right questions. He expects answers. He can ask some questions that maybe we in the same room at the same time not feel comfortable in answering all the time. And he has just provided not only a structure and a framework, but has guided us so far with this.
When you talk to someone like Dan, when you use the services of Advance Iowa, it's an exchange of information, but I suppose it's also a matter of Advance Iowa saying, where do you want to end up? Where are you now? Sounds like that this really was the roadmap that you needed.
Without question. I mean, the comfort level immediately was there because it was like, oh, good, somebody else can help us with this. You know, where we didn't know where to turn yet, instead of just that person to person, brother to sister, and all the emotions that can become involved with all of this. From the get-go, you know, Dan interviewed every single involved party separately to get their take on things, to get how they felt about things, what their roles and responsibilities were, and their feelings of myself of Tom leaving the business? You know, what were their worries? What were their concerns? What gaps have to be filled? That started it because everyone could express openly, but separately. The next stage was me defining my roles and responsibilities. Dan says, you need to define everything you do. And then we begin to figure out how do we start transitioning those to different people. And that was huge. And we got that going. And then the pandemic hit. And, you know, all of a sudden, we had to lay off people. We were just working with family. And all of a sudden, we're trying to navigate ourselves through something we've never been through before as a business. I mean, the company's been through depressions. They've been through the building of malls and the dying of downtowns. And now we have a pandemic where we're closing our stores, but trying to remain functional as a business. And that was a scary time. And I told Dan, I said, everything's on hold. I said, I'm not going anywhere. We got to figure this thing out. We got through it just through hard work and long hours and everybody pulling the wagon in the same direction. And when we got on the other side of Easter, because that's our last biggest holiday, I approached Dan again. I said, look, now it's time to get back going on this thing. And he jumped right on it. You know, has required us to do weekly meetings. We're dealing with some of the issues that he's brought forth. And we see pieces of the puzzle being put into place.
Tom Lago Marcino of Lago Marcino's, the finest in chocolates since 1908. Online at lagomarcinos.com. We connected via Zoom on Tuesday, April 27th. And that brings us to the close of this week's program. We're back again next week at this same time. In the meantime, you can listen to all or part of today's program by going to totallyiowa.com and clicking on the radio programs link. You'll also find podcasts of full interviews with many of the folks you hear on this program. They're listed as IBR Extras and IBR Business Profiles. And we're also found on all the major podcast distributors, 18 different ones in all. We welcome your comments. Send them by email to radio@totallyiowa.com. I'm Jeff Stein. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you have a prosperous week.
The Iowa Business Report is a copyrighted production of Totally Iowa Media, which is solely responsible for its content. For more, click on the radio programs button at totallyiowa.com.